Hey, I've got a great verse for all of us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can you remember a more volatile time in our history? Maybe if you're old enough to remember some of the riots after the shooting of Dr. King, or maybe you're thinking of the protest marches against the Vietnam War, the massive generation gap of the 60s. Yeah, we've had a lot of volatile times in our years here as a nation, even in our lifetimes. I remember when George H.W. Bush was running against Bill Clinton, that I wondered out loud if Bush won, if there would be riots in the streets and things like that. So things have been volatile for quite a while, but they're certainly more volatile now, and they're dividing the people of God. This is Michael Brown. You know we talk about the controversial issues here. You know we tackle difficult subjects. You know, we wade into things where others are often afraid to wade in. And I'm not just going to come up with the standard conservative view or the standard expected view. This is not conservative talk radio. We are biblically based in everything we do. We talk politics. We talk society. We talk morality. We talk culture, because this is the world in which we live. And God's word has something relevant to say about all of this. But we do so in a way that is ultimately redemptive. And once again, on the broadcast, I want to do my best to be redemptive. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If I asked you, call in, and I'm not asking you to. I'm going to give you a subject I'd love to hear your response to in a moment. But if I asked you, call in, if you have had tensions within your family or among your friends over the elections, the phones would go crazy if everyone that was affected called in. We wouldn't have time to take the calls for months. Everywhere you turn, people are upset. People say they're losing for longtime friends. Pastor said to me over the weekend, man, there are people in my congregation, they're really upset, and they're posting this on social media and that on social media, and how do I respond? A friend was just showing me some posts earlier on their Facebook page, and I was shocked to see it. I thought, I know some of these people. They're good Christians, and they're acting like animals towards each other. So I know this is happening in a widespread way. I mean, we're facing it all around, and I'm getting blasted from every side. You're a Trump defender. You're a Trump critic. It's wild. But maybe you are in a multiracial or multi-ethnic setting within your own family or within your own church or the workplace, and you have found some constructive means to be a peacemaker. You have found ways to wade through the conflict. And look, a lot of this is spiritual. It's not just people getting worked up. I believe there's spiritual stuff going on as well. Have you found things that are effective to be peacemakers? Not compromisers, not wimps, not man pleasers, but peacemakers. Have you? If so, give us a call. I know we get a lot less calls for this, but if so, give us a call, 866-348-7884. Give us a call and weigh in. I'd love to hear what you have done that has been constructive, that has been helpful. And again, the rhetoric is everywhere. The rhetoric is in the media. The rhetoric is, hey, there are tweets still forthcoming from President-elect Trump. I would have hoped those would have stopped. They're still forthcoming. The volatility of everything going around, crazy statements from the campaign still, the Clinton campaign, and what a day. We will be right back.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The word racism has been thrown around and racist so much to good, decent people that aren't racist. They're just not. And so it doesn't mean anything anymore. And the problem is when you throw a word around like that all the time, then you begin to dismiss the actual racists.
That is Glenn Beck on Anderson Cooper yesterday talking about what is called the alt-right. And for Glenn Beck, the alt-right is truly terrifying. Now, I'm playing these clips to say that on each side now, the accusations are increasing and intensifying. And you can only see leading up to the Trump election that you've got who knows what's going to happen in the days before the inauguration and protests. And we know on top of that there are paid protesters out there. There's more and more documentation of that. And that in Portland, Oregon, for example, over half of those arrested hadn't even voted. You talk about just completely thumbing your nose at the system. And here you don't even vote. Now you protest the vote. You're paid to do this. This is leading towards anarchy. And it's also leading towards the whole victim mentality, which is we don't know how to lose. But putting that aside, the rhetoric only increases. The fears only increase. And listen, friends, we're going to have to do better as God's people. I want to take your calls, 866-348-7884. I wrote an article. If you haven't read my latest article, just go to thelineoffire.org. You can read it. It's time to call out the left's hypocrisy. And I said, look, I've got a vent. I'm burdened about things. I've got a kind of a holy frustration. I want to let some things out. You're probably feeling the same way. I said, but first, some caveats. Yeah, I do understand why many Americans are deeply upset with Donald Trump's election. I understand why Mexican Americans and African Americans and Muslim Americans have concerns. I understand why women don't understand how godly Christians could vote for him. I understand all that. I understand this. But here's why I am upset. Here's why I am grieved. And I noticed a comment. I really don't get to read the comments. I noticed a comment that said, why all the caveats? Because if I just make statements without saying, look, I understand this part and this part and this part, then I am unnecessarily writing people off. If I just make statements about all millennials, all young people, without talking about the many fine, godly, responsible, mature young people that are out there, now I shoot myself in the foot and I only heighten the tensions. Here, let me give you an example of something, and then I want to take your calls. I do hope you recognize that our purpose on the air is not to be incendiary or inflammatory. I will talk about hot button issues, but always in a way that is constructive and redemptive. Okay, I talked about one of my friends, white pastor, Italian background, New York area, fine pastor. He was sitting together with other pastors, white pastors, black pastors, Hispanic pastors, and they were talking about what's most important to them when they get together. The white pastors is, just give me the bottom line. Let's get straight to the, cut to the chase. What's the bottom line? The black pastors is honor, showing honor. The Hispanic pastors, hey, let's have a party. You know, let's get together. Let's have a fun social event. You know, the black pastors was all about honor, honor. The white pastors, just get to the bottom line. And it was even reflected in their public services. All right, so let's focus for a moment on the black ethic of honor, showing honor. All right. You may have grown up in African-American churches. And that's just normal to you. Want to honor this pastor's wife called First Lady. Show honor. We want to honor the choir. You know, you come in there as a visitor, a white visitor. You've never been around. It's like, what's with the honor this, honor that, honor this, honor that? It's different to you, right? Okay. Now, let me back up. I, as a white man, take issue with the president of the United States, who at present is an African-American and to be succeeded by a white American. All right. I take issue with the president, but perhaps a black listener does not hear sufficient honor in my tone towards the president. And they feel I'm insulting him, even though in my heart, by calling him President Obama or Mr. Obama, I was respecting him as president. But because I didn't show sufficient honor, and that's part of the culture, and they felt slighted by white Americans, they'll hear that. Now, it's not right or wrong, okay? Obviously, a culture of honor is excellent to have. But it's not that either attitude was wrong. In fact, my attitude in speaking was a right attitude, and the person hearing it had a right attitude. But unless we communicate with each other and take the time to have the difficult conversations, we're never going to make progress. And look, right now, I've got an article here in front of me from, let's see, from Christianity Today. Global evangelical leaders, Trump's win will harm the church's witness. Some evangelical leaders around the globe worry that the recent U.S. presidential election has damaged Christian moral witness and will fuel discord abroad. In other words, if we are perceived, white evangelicals, who were the key group in getting Donald Trump elected, 81% of us voted for him according to polling data, that if we are perceived as voting for someone, and we now say character doesn't matter, or voting for someone who's going to seem to have right-wing, extreme nationalist mentality that in Europe can be very frightening in terms of what that's associated with and things like that. Other parts of the world can question. So I've heard from leaders in other parts of the world that are thrilled with Donald Trump being in and commending us as evangelicals. Here there are others saying, hey, we are concerned. Grace Matthews, a Delhi-based leader with the Lausanne Movement, said this year's election conflicts with the image of virtue associated with American politics in previous decades. Well, I don't know how much virtue we've had. Although the American church was seen to split on Trump, conservative Christians did contribute towards his messaging. Quote, the credibility of the Christian witness was damaged, I must say, because truth was not what was pronounced. Well, how about our witness on social media? How about the fact that we treat each other like animals? How about the extreme incivility? How about that? So we've got to do better. No, I'm not going to compromise my convictions, but I will humble myself. I want to do my best to recognize where I've spoken unwisely. Look, we post lots of memes on our Facebook page, and these are, you know, clever little sayings with good graphics and things like that. We have a team that puts those out. And anything controversial, I have to approve. But otherwise, they're posted all the time without me posting them myself from our team as we're working as one on this. But if someone just sees those and they never listen to me on radio and never read my articles, they might think that we are a certain type of ministry or organization and get a wrong impression. And we always try to be sensitive to that. And if we think it's a good meme, put a caption up to explain more fully. And we try to be sensitive to that because we don't just want to play into the volatility. We want to get a message out, but we want to do it in such a way that ultimately we're going to come together in unity. And that's a great challenge. We must work at it, and it requires humility, and it requires patience. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's hear from Destiny in Arlington, Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Doing well, thank you.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm calling. You had asked about just the conversation piece of like how we kind of like navigate that and
yes.
bring sides, you know, together. And so since the election, I've definitely had, you know, a few conversations. I haven't had, you know, abundance, but a few conversations, even one really good last night. And for me, what I have found to be helpful is, you know, number one, whatever side you're on, really listening to what, you know, the other person really has to say. And, you know, in some ways validating, finding ways to validate their emotions, you know, about whatever is going on. So whether it's fear, you know, anger, whatever, just trying to see where they're coming from with it, even if it's not mine. So for me, like with this election, I mean, people might say it's hard to say like, oh, you're neutral. I honestly am very much neutral. Like, I didn't lose any sleep over President elect Trump being elected. I wasn't troubled by it. I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for anyone. But for me, I really try to look at it from a biblical point of view. And I say that because for me, and I was sharing with some ladies last night, you know, I just look at the Word, and not just New Testament, but I also like to look at the Old Testament. And I see where, you know, things have happened. The children of Israel were brought into captivity several times. And I'm not saying that's what happened is happening to, you know, the United States, but we have to start seeing the way in which God will deal with us. And
yeah,
so,
Destiny, hey, I'm so sorry to cut you off. I appreciate you weighing in. I got a break, but thank you for weighing in. Let's keep a spiritual perspective.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, one thing I realize also is that often we're not used to people disagreeing with us strongly. Often we're not used to someone saying you're wrong. And we react in fleshly ways. Scripture says, rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. And as we're watching some of these protests, we're also seeing that there are some that are protesting, and it is reflective of this mentality of we don't know how to take responsibility. Okay, we were wrong here. We blew it here. I read one civil rights statement where they're saying the Electoral College is just set up for white supremacy. And then another statement by a number of civil rights leaders saying that polls closed early. That was specifically to discriminate against high school students, college students, and young workers. Or as if they're the only ones that couldn't vote, that older workers or larger families, parents, that they were now privileged to be. I mean, it's such nonsense. Instead of saying, hey, young people didn't come out to vote, minorities didn't come out to vote with the numbers expected. One reason was they weren't that energized by their candidate. They were not that energized by Hillary Clinton. Far more young people and minorities came out to vote for Barack Obama. They were far more energized for him than for Hillary Clinton. And many were disappointed with President Obama. And this happens cyclically. You know, that you get all the Republicans in, then they're disappointed with them. You get the Democrats in, they're disappointed with them. So take responsibility. We don't grow otherwise. Here, listen to Jess McIntosh, who is director of communications on the Hillary Clinton campaign, talking with Chris Hayes on MSNBC's All In.
In some ways, the demographic bet was there's going to be some demographics on which she underperforms.
Mm-hmm.
That will be made up for ones in which she overperforms. And yep. One of those was women, particularly Republican
yep.
women, white women. We should be clear, women of color overwhelmingly voted for her and have overwhelmingly voted for every Democratic
yes.
presidential candidate. But she, among white women, didn't do any different than essentially Obama in 2012, a point better.
Yeah.
How do you make sense of that?
I mean, internalized misogyny is a real thing. And this is a thing that we have to be talking about as we go through and see.
What does that mean, though?
My guess is, the president said it the best during this whole campaign. We as a society react poorly to women seeking positions of power. We are uncomfortable by it, and then we seek to justify that uncomfortable feeling because it can't possibly be because we don't want to see a woman in that position of power.
No! It was not internalized misogyny. It was a bad candidate. It was a very flawed candidate. And many people felt that she was corrupt and they didn't like the Clinton political machine. And as much as women were put off by Donald Trump, they weren't captivated by Hillary Clinton. And her radical feminism does not, in terms of abortion and things like that, does not speak for many American women. It does speak for some. So take responsibility. Say, okay, we didn't have a good candidate. If Donald Trump lost, it would have been because we didn't have a good candidate there because he had too much unfavorability. We've got to do that. We'll never grow. We will never grow if we don't take responsibility. I read a quote about a guy, mixed martial artist, that lost in a big match, a big pay-per-view match. No, I didn't pay to view it. I read about it. And he was the champ, and he lost to another champ. And he first commended the champ and then said, I did everything wrong. Everything we trained for 10 weeks, I did the opposite of. It's not my team's fault. It's my fault. So he first commends the other guy. Great job. And then he says, I totally blew it. I completely messed up. It's all my fault. And we trained exact right, and I did the exact opposite. My bad, totally. Well, he'll be a better fighter for that. That's the way you grow. So the same way here, we watch the protest, and we see this is non-productive. But at the same time, I understand why many Americans are traumatized by the Trump election, and I understand why many Americans are celebrating. I understand both sides. And it's not because I'm a wishy-washy wimp, as you well know. Let's go to, we won't go there. Let us try Cassia in Crofton, Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Crofton, Maryland, sorry.
One sec. Hello, how are you?
Doing well. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Dr. Brown. Well, I'm calling because, you know, I kind of grew up in a household where my mother was a Democrat, my father was Republican, I am a Christian, went to a Christian college. But I'm calling because I just feel a lot of times Christian conservatives don't understand why they are Democrats, and there seems to be this schism in the body of Christ when it comes to politics. I think a lot of people are upset with President-elect Donald Trump because there seems to be a lack of compassion. I've had some pastors that were like, oh, I can't believe that, you know, if you're a Christian, you could vote Democrat. When you look at the news and you look at Fox News and it's a totally different story, you look at CNN, it's a totally different story. It's, you know, the truth has to be somewhere there in the middle. You know, there isn't one party that has all the right answers, and we have to have compassion. I think that, the love of God has to be the primary thing that Christians have to display, like you were saying earlier. And I think that lacks a lot of times. There's this lack of compassion, and I believe a lot of minorities are seeing that, even mm-hmm. though there could be some painting of making President-elect Donald Trump, you know, do more evil than he actually is doing. There has to be some truth to it, and so some level of it. And I think that the public is reacting to that. They feel like, you know, minorities feel like they're not being heard, and they're expressing themselves. You know?
Yeah. So on the one hand, the media does fan things into flame and exaggerate stuff. We understand that, and that again, that's going to be Fox, that's going to be CNN, MSNBC on either side. We understand that, and that's rating that gets you ratings. I don't mean they're fine people in the media. They have a hard job, you know. But I'm in media too, just in a different setting. But yes, they fan things into flame, and yes, a lot of the protests they're other outside agitators. But certainly, no matter how much the media fanned Donald Trump's initial Mexican immigrants or illegals, whatever terms he used, no matter how the media fanned that into flame and soundbited it, if you said that about any other people group, the Jews that are coming over here, or the blacks that are coming over here, or the Asians that are coming over here, that would get them upset and offend them. So your comments are spot on. It's the level-headedness that we need in our dialogue. Friends, can we continue this? Thank you, sir. I wish I had more time, but I had to jump in. Paul says in Galatians 5, if you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you're consumed with one another. Okay, real quick. Just got my annual physical results, blood test. You know, my cholesterol used to be as high as 230, and the bad cholesterol was high and the good cholesterol was low. You know, since I changed my lifestyle, lost 95 pounds, my cholesterol has been between 123 and 135, and everything in good balance and off the charts healthy. Nancy and I tell our story of life transformation in our new book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. There's still a little time left for you to pre-order a copy to get it signed in time for Christmas. Go to thelineoffire.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the line of fire, 866-348-7884. How do we seek the bond of unity when we are so polarized politically? How do we say, all right, I want to look you in the eyes with respect and say, if you've really sought the Lord, sought to honor the Lord, prayed, studied the issues, and came to a different conclusion I did on the presidency, on other aspects of the elections, I want to honor that in the Lord. We're not talking about denying the faith. We're not talking about changing our views on morality and, fine, I'm going to respect you if you abandon your wife without any biblical cause and shack up with your secretary and want to marry her and you want me to respect that decision. No, but we're talking about disputable issues. We're talking about how we come down on certain difficult issues where it's not an absolute right or wrong situation. What does God value? Can we recognize that he values treating one another with honor? 866-348-7884. How can we be agents of peace? I want to keep taking your calls in a moment. I'm going to interrupt briefly to talk with Attorney Matt Staver about something of great importance when it comes to religious liberties. But remember, a lot of evangelicals who voted for Donald Trump voted for him with reservation because they saw him as a massively flawed candidate who could do a lot of harm, but felt they had to vote against Hillary Clinton and felt that voting for him was voting for our religious liberties and for the unborn, and therefore they voted for him. All right? Those that differ need to understand that and respect that, just like those that couldn't vote for him for other reasons need to be respected by those who did vote for him. I want to get to some more calls, then I'm going to speak with Matt Staver, and I'm going to come back to your calls. Our goal, again, friends, on this broadcast is to be constructive and redemptive, to help one another. Let's tear down what's wrong and build up what's right. We go to Mike in Washington, D.C. Thank you, sir, for calling the line of fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thanks for taking the call. I also do a little bit of a co-host of a show locally in the Virginia area. And, you know, we had callers all during the time and the Trump campaign and the Clinton campaign. You know, when you speak about the church, Finney had a statement years ago, if anything goes wrong with the country, you know, you could blame the pulpit.
Yep.
But, you know, we had a whole year of social justice, Black Lives Matter, and then you have a community. And this is really something that a lot of people didn't hit on. You had the AME and the black church come out and say, you got to go for Clinton. Then you had the Latinos saying you have to go for Clinton while the country was halfway on fire. And, you know, we could speak about the Bible. We could take the verses and the quotes and the scriptures, you know, but if you're all about pro-life, meaning Black Lives Matter, all lives matter, hands up, don't shoot, you know, all this other stuff, how could you be for a pro-choice issue? And I think it came down to not who was the better candidate, who was the more corrupt candidate, who was more for pro-life. The evangelical church to come out and make statements like we have to back Clinton really set the thing in motion. I think when they came out full blast at the end, it set it in motion where, and the minorities are always going to say this. They're going to say, well, you know, Donald Trump's not the guy, and, you know, he's controversial, and he had women issues. He's married three times. You know, there is a thing called forgiveness. You know that, Dr. Brown. Okay.
Yep.
And, you know, since 69, we've been on the forgiveness program. You know, Martin Luther King and the civil rights issues, everybody's been all about that. If we were such a racist country, like people are saying now, Obama would have never won two terms because
yeah.
The black vote, Latino vote wouldn't have gotten that, and even the Asian vote.
Exactly. So hey, Mike, yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off. I've got to bring Matt Staver on in a moment, but points well taken. What we have to do, though, again, is say to someone, okay, here's why I say that we're not so racist. Tell me why you think we are, and then we move forward. Great points. Thank you.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I was just saying a moment ago that one reason many evangelicals voted for Donald Trump with reluctance, with concern about his reliability, his character, not just who he was, but who he is and how deep his conservative moral values were. One reason that many evangelicals voted for him, especially white evangelicals, was the issue of religious liberty. It was a vote against Hillary Clinton, and it was a vote for Supreme Court justices who would be pro-life and pro-religious liberty. And it was because of Donald Trump really wanting to take up the cause of evangelicals when it comes to religious liberty. And I'd said previously that a vote for Hillary Clinton was a vote to gag our mouths and tie our hands over the very issue of religious liberty. You all heard about the case with Kim Davis over the last year plus, the county clerk in Kentucky who ended up going to jail for a period of time because she could not abide by the court's order to sign marriage certificates for same-sex couples. Well, that has played out. A way around that was put in motion so she can continue her job. But there's yet another assault. Matt Staver, who is a lead attorney with Liberty Counsel, the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, has an important update for us. Matt, I know your schedule is crammed. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes to join us on The Line of Fire.
Thanks. My pleasure to be with you.
So, Matt, what is the latest with Kim Davis? I thought we heard the last of this and an accommodation was made and life was going on peacefully in Kentucky. What's happened now?
Well, an accommodation has been made. Not only do we have a new governor in Kentucky that was voted in 2015, he was counted out by the media, kind of like Donald Trump was. And then at the end of the day, he was the winner, and it shocked the media. And they ended up having to say that it was due to his stand on marriage, religious liberty, and for Kim Davis. So a week after he got into office, he issued an executive order that accommodated her religious belief and all those of other clerks who did not want their name, authority, and title on the marriage certificates involving same-sex marriage. And then later in the months earlier this year, 2016, the House and the Senate got together, and unanimously, Republicans and Democrats on both chambers passed a bill that put into the statute what he put in the executive order, and that is to protect and accommodate religious freedom. So that was passed. He signed it. That's the law. And Kim Davis and all the other clerks, their religious freedom is protected. We notified the Court of Appeals and we notified the lower court that everything that she had wanted, everything that we had asked for, we now had achieved, and the case was over and it could be dismissed. So the Court of Appeals dismissed the case, agreeing with us, and the lower courts also dismissed the three pending cases against Kim Davis. And then just at the last minute, 30 days are due when the case becomes final, and just before the 30 days, the ACLU decided to try to go after what I would call a Hail Mary pass, trying to get attorney's fees, and so they filed a motion at the Court of Appeals asking them to reverse their opinion. They filed a second one at the lower court asking them to change the opinion and not close the case. And then they filed a third one asking for attorney's fees. All of these are now before the courts. Frankly, I think it is merely a Hail Mary pass. They're wanting to get attorney's fees, but at the end of the day, they were not the prevailing parties. Kim Davis was the one who was the prevailing party. She's the one who got everything she asked for, and the ACLU didn't get what it wanted. So that's where we are. We're resisting the ACLU's attempt to open this case again. It's going to be a very high hurdle for them to cross because they literally would have to convince the Court of Appeals, three judges, to change their mind, another judge down below at the trial court level to change his mind, and then if they both do that, then they would go after attorney's fees. So they have a big hurdle, and frankly, I don't think they're going to be able to achieve it. The case really should be done, and we'll just continue to see how it goes in the next few months.
All right, well, let's just step back and try to learn some larger lessons from this. And Matt, I appreciate your courageous efforts for years now, because sometimes it could feel like you're bailing water out of a sinking ship, and it can be discouraging, and all the money of the ACLU and the SPLC and these other special interest groups and their massive power, it can seem intimidating. But In the first place, an accommodation should have been granted to Kim Davis. It was a, you had all these easy fixes that could have avoided the whole problem.
Right.
But there was a zeal against it. Now it's almost as if the people of Kentucky have spoken. Is there a pushback coming? And with all of Donald Trump's faults, is this part of a larger national pushback against the oppression coming our way?
Well, it is. You know, the people spoke before this case when they passed the marriage amendment. It was pretty loud and clear. And then you had this court case in Kentucky. And then you had the U.S. Supreme Court 5-4 opinion that came down in June. 2 months later, Kim Davis is in court and she finds herself in jail. She could have been accommodated. The governor could have accommodated her, but he was a liberal Democrat and he didn't want to help her at all. He was actually on the other side of the issue. The court could have accommodated her, but it didn't want to do it either. So, you know, the people spoke when they voted for their governor, Matt Bevin. They spoke loud and clear, and that set a whole series of things in motion, the executive order and then the legislative enactments. So I think that people have spoken. The other thing I think you're seeing is a pushback against the judiciary, this out-of-control judiciary, and government leaders who are so political, they want to cram their liberal agenda down your throat. We had both of that in Kentucky. We had a court that didn't want to accommodate her. We had the court from the United States Supreme Court that literally deviated from the Constitution in an incredible way. And we had a liberal, politically ideological governor in Kentucky, the Democratic governor who's no longer in office. All of these were coming together. I think that's what you've seen essentially nationally. People are tired of government not listening. They're tired of the courts not listening. So, you know, when Donald Trump said, and he's the first one to ever do this in the history of the Republican Party, when he said that he would appoint pro-life justices, what that really means is he wants to appoint justices and judges who respect the Constitution. It's not that you're taking a pro-life litmus test per se, but if you're pro-life and you understand that the Constitution doesn't have any place to provide for abortion, then you're interpreting the Constitution based upon its original understanding. And if you're going to do that on the life issue, you're going to do it on the marriage issue, because that's even a further deviation from the Constitution. You can't stretch the Constitution to a pro-abortion constitutional right to kill a child, nor can you stretch it to the point where it's a constitutional right to have same-sex marriage. Both of those are deviations to an extreme degree of the Constitution. So he pledges to appoint pro-life justices, meaning these are justices or judges that will interpret the text of the Constitution. And if they're going to do that on the issue of life, they'll do it on every other area as well. And really, frankly, that's all we want. We want judges to stay within their prescribed authority. We don't want five people on the Supreme Court or any place else in the country dictating on the rest of the country and pontificating things of their own personal opinion that have nothing to do with the Constitution. And I think the other thing is, we want people who are elected to literally listen to and represent the people. We've had this issue with Barack Obama for the last 7.5 years, used the military and the schools and his directives and his executive orders to literally push a very radical agenda, not only here in America, but frankly around the world. And I think, frankly, the people are tired of that. They want government, they want judges who will work within their prescribed authority and who will be responsive and not disrespect their values.
Yeah, and again, there is a pushback. It has nothing to do with racism or sexism. It has to do with America is a nation of freedom. This is one of our most fundamental values, and freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech. And when we see overreach coming our way, it does affect us. Matt, just 1 minute, what would you say to Americans in terms of encouragement and hope at this critical time?
Oh, I'm very encouraged right now. I mean, we have right now incredible opportunity to literally take back some of the fundamental foundational principles of the country, beginning obviously with the United States Supreme Court. We don't have just one appointment. Scalia, we have to fill that seat, but perhaps others in the next 4 years. We also have so many other areas to be thankful for and opportunities to really regain some ground. whether it's support of Israel or domestic policies, whether it's getting government out of our face all the time. All of those are possibilities now with this election that has just come to be, that shocked all the liberal pundits, but frankly is a great opportunity to put America on track. I'm more optimistic and excited about our future than I have been in a long time.
Incredible. Friends, Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel, pray for Matt, pray for the team. They're on the front lines. We're indebted to you, Matt. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. Friends, we come back. I want to go straight to the phones, 866-348-7884. Let us walk in humility one towards another. Let us honor God. Let us honor one another. Let us listen and learn. Let us speak with wisdom. Colossians 4, let our speech be seasoned with grace.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks again for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, friends, when God laid on my heart in 2004 to begin to get involved in the issue of homosexual activism, it was with this word in my heart, help turn back the tide of homosexual activism. And then that was followed by a strong burden to reach out to the individuals with compassion, to resist the agenda with courage. I do believe there's going to be a holy pushback. I've been saying that for years. Before I was burdened about gay activism, I was burdened about the larger direction of our society and wrote that we were to help take back the moral ground that was taken from under our feet, not by imposing religion on others, but by being God's people and being shining lights in dark places and thereby bringing about gospel-based moral and cultural transformation. It could even be through a very flawed leader like Donald Trump that God gives us a window, an open door, a respite to do that. But do not look to the man to be the moral reformer. Pray for him, but do not look to him. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Scott in Manchester, New Hampshire. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Michael. Thank you very much for having me on.
You bet.
I totally agree with Donald Trump being a flawed man. Can't look to the man. That's a good statement. You know, Donald Trump's probably the president that's going to be the window, like you said. I think with the situation here abroad domestically and also overseas with Israel, he actually got together with the ambassador of Israel and said he will stay behind Israel, and I think that's very important. The Bible and Scripture, and you're a theologian, doesn't really talk about the United States in Scripture much. You know, maybe melting pot, I've heard a couple words, but I'd like to just have your view on what Israel has to do with America and prophecy and also biblically speaking.
Yeah, sure thing. If you'll look on my website, thelineoffire.org, just click on the digital library. I've written about that, the importance of Israel. I don't see America specifically spoken of in biblical prophecy. What I do see is the principle of God blessing those that bless Israel and cursing those that curse Israel. And a true friend of Israel will call out Israel when Israel does wrong or where Israel falls short. But you'll see, if you just scroll down the digital library, a November 6th article. So go to thelineoffire.org and just click on digital library and then scroll down to November 6th, factoring Israel into your voting decision. I believe that Hillary would have been very strong in pro-Israel statements if elected, but I do not believe she would be anywhere nearly as strongly pro-Israel as Donald Trump wants to be. Just look at the Republican platform regarding Israel versus the Democrats. So that's one reason I would vote for Donald Trump again with the reservations I did, but factoring Israel in, that was also positive. So I do believe that this principle still applies of blessing Israel or cursing Israel. I do believe it's one reason God continues to have mercy on America despite our many sins. Another reason is our exporting the gospel around the world and our doing good in humanitarian ways around the world. But we do a lot of bad as well within our country and outside our country. So I believe solidarity with Israel is important. It was greatly tested under President Obama, although he did not obviously totally betray Israel. So factoring Israel into your voting decision, that was November 6, 2016. Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Lewis in New Haven, Connecticut. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. Glad to be on. Just wanted to say my opinion as a Puerto Rican Hispanic, but very grateful to say I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as this elections got closer and closer, you know, I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to do, because I'm sure you realize that Donald Trump called Puerto Ricans the worst form of Mexicans. But
by the way, when did he make that statement? I'm not disputing. I'm just trying to get a context for it.
The exact time and date, I am not sure. I'm not sure. But honestly, it doesn't matter, because I voted for Trump anyway. This is what I'm trying to get across.
Got it. We know he made enough statements that would concern Hispanic Americans. Understood, certainly.
Right. But as a Christian, I really had to honestly pray fervently and ask God, where am I going to go? Because I really don't have any clear choice. But as it got closer and closer, and the more I prayed, God made it clear to me that Donald Trump was the one who I had to vote for. I mean, as time has gone on now and after the elections, I mean, you have to be clear to see that Hillary Clinton, and again, I didn't vote for Donald Trump. It's not about the man. It's about what God wants. God will put who he wants, and God will take away who he wants. And Trump is there. Please listen, evangelical Christians. Trump is there because God put him there. He's there for a reason, okay? We need to be obedient to God. Pray hard, obey, and listen to what the Lord is saying to us, okay? And the Christians that are fighting amongst each other, you're wrong. We're wrong. That's not what Christ wants. That's not what Christ is about. Just to put it out there real quietly or real quickly, Hillary was heading us towards a gay nation and a Muslim nation. And if, as a Christian, you can't see that you had to understand that you had to go the other way, you're missing the mark, and you're not being obedient, and you're not being sensitive to the voice.
Yep.
It's that simple. It's not about a man or a woman.
Yep, I understand.
It's about what God wants.
Yeah, and listen, by the way, just as far as I know, the idea that Puerto Ricans are the worst form of Mexicans, that seems to be a spoof quote that has been circulated that's not true, or maybe he said something that's being exaggerated. So I want to fact check that. But either way, you voted for him. So here's what I think is very important to take away. There is a growing minority of Hispanic voters who voted for Trump. And I think he got something like 29% of the Hispanic vote, which is more than Romney, which means you can't just break this up into race. And you have to say that people voted for larger issues. You may disagree with Lewis's perspective about where Hillary wanted to take the nation. I certainly believe it would have gone much more in that direction than we would have been comfortable with. And that would have then pushed back against Christian rights and Judeo-Christian foundations. I do believe that. But here's the point. Here's what Lewis is saying. Let's at least be able to respect him as a Hispanic American for voting for Trump, just like I will respect you if you say, yes, but God hates pride and this and this, and that's what I see in Donald Trump, and I couldn't vote for him. I respect that as well. Thank you for the call. All right, friends, bottom line, it's in Galatians. I want to say it again. If we bite and devour one another, let's be careful lest we be consumed by one another. And what's the summary of the law? Love your neighbor as yourself.
The pro-life movement continues to take positive strides. Here's a way you can get involved.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. I consider it a joy and privilege to come into your cars, to come into your homes, to come into your earbuds, wherever you're listening, however you're listening. I consider it a privilege and an honor to come your way. And when I run into folks that say around the world, I listen to you online every day, or I listen to your podcast every day, that moves me. That's a commitment of time and energy. That means you're allowing me to have input into your life on a regular basis. That's humbling to me, and I thank you for it. I take it as a privilege. I take this time on the radio as sacred, and by God's grace, we want to make a difference in your life to help you go and change your world. As we are impacted by the gospel, we go and impact those around us, and it has a life-changing, world-changing effect. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. And as we have been talking about the elections, as we have been talking about voting for Hillary Clinton or voting for Donald Trump, we're doing our best to walk in a way that is respectful of those who differ within the body. We are doing our best to use this time on the air, not just to talk about the issues, but to talk about them in a redemptive way. It's all too easy to throw stones. It's all too easy to get in the flesh with one another, to lose our love one for another in the midst of our differences. You know what I love? I love when a caller calls in and say, Dr. Brown, I've listened to you for years, and I really disagree with you today, but I love you too much to be mad at me, to be mad at you. I mean, that is so sweet to hear, because that's saying we're family. We're family. How about the family of God? So let's focus on the issue of life, pro-life. All right? Let's focus on that. And then I want to take your calls, 866-348-7884, about how we can bridge the gap between believers over President Donald Trump. How can we bridge the gap without compromising our convictions, without watering down things that are important to us? How can we come to a place of understanding so that now we can work side by side for the good of America, even while having profound differences regarding President-elect Donald Trump, just like we had profound differences with President Barack Obama and presidents before him? Okay, let's think back to the days of slavery. All right. I want to help those of you who say I could never vote for Donald Trump because of this, 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 and this. I just want to help you to see something for one moment. All right. And I think I could articulate your reasons for not voting for Trump, which is why I never said vote for Donald Trump. I said, here's why I'm voting for him, but I respect never Trumpers. I respect those who say I can't vote for him. I just urge you not to vote for Hillary. You say, I prayed, I considered it, I wrestled with it. I went to the Lord. I studied the scriptures. I looked at the issues. Here's why I voted for Hillary. I differ with you, but I still respect you as a brother or sister that made that effort. But go back to the days of slavery. Could you have understood voting for a guy like Donald Trump, but who was absolutely committed to turning the nation around when it came to slavery and freeing the slaves? Could you have seen voting for that person being a one-issue voter for the slavery? And if you had this other candidate who seemed great, but was a pro-slavery candidate, can't vote for him. That's how many of us feel when it comes to abortion. And if that's our only issue, we feel it's sacred in God's sight, and therefore we have to vote accordingly. Look at pictures of aborted babies online and say, okay, can you understand? Talk to Christian women who've had abortions in the past and let them share their pain and agony over it. Say, can you understand why for some of us, if that was the only issue, that would determine who we voted for. We'll be right back.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for being part of the broadcast today on The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. There's an article on Fox News that asks, is Planned Parenthood affiliate fueling anti-Trump protests? Blogger Matt Walsh asked the question, what kind of protests would we see if the government now defunded Planned Parenthood? What if it was at $500 million a year that the government receives, $553 million tax dollars last year, pledged to spend $30 million to defeat Donald Trump, which it obviously did not do? And should we make abortion our one issue that determines how we vote? 866-34-TRUTH. I want to speak to everyone living in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina right now. I want to speak to the whole nation, but everyone living in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina. My guest, Justin Reeder, lives in Charlotte with his wife, Jennifer, and their two kids. And he has a tremendous burden to do something when it comes to the pro-life movement. And something major is happening that every one of you can participate in if you live in Greater Charlotte. Justin, welcome to The Line of Fire. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Dr. Michael Brown. It's an honor to be with you.
Glad to have you. How did you come to have such a burden for the unborn?
Yeah, so the journey began for me back in 2012. I actually had some friends that invited me out to the local abortion clinic here in Charlotte, which is one of the largest in the Southeast, and it just began to educate me on what was taking place here in our city and what I call the tragic truth about Charlotte, which I think everybody needs to know. And as I stood there in 2012, I began to learn that abortion was the leading cause of death in our city. And my heart began to break as I heard these statistics that 150 to 200 abortions were happening every week in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I've been doing business with a company right across the street from this abortion clinic for almost 10 years and never knew this place even existed.
Really?
And so when I came face to face with it in 2012, that's when God really began breaking my heart over this issue.
Let me just jump in and ask you a question. But someone would say, but who is Justin Reeder? I mean, is he pastoring a church? Is he an elected official? Is he a wealthy businessman funding a movement? Isn't he just a regular guy, married guy, now a guy with kids? Isn't he just a regular guy? I mean, that's pretty much how God dealt with you, right? Pretty much telling us you don't have to be somebody big and famous to make a difference.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yeah, my belief is I'm a business guy. I've owned a business now for 11 years here in the city, and that's been my call. It's been in the marketplace for a long time, but I don't believe there's any separation between ministry and marketplace. When you have Jesus in your heart, it's always full-time ministry. So God has put this burden on my heart, and in August of this last year is when he put this specific plan to unite and mobilize the church in our city to create a culture of life that would bring an end to abortion in Charlotte in 2016. And when he dropped that on my heart, it was a heavy burden. But I had been praying from the Lord. I said, Lord, break my heart for the things that break yours. And he did.
All right. So what have you been able to do thus far? And what is happening in Charlotte in a few weeks? Let's start with what's happened so far.
Yeah, so we began, it's a 40-week campaign. We launched it in March of this year. We had no credibility when we started because, again, I'm not on staff at any church. Obviously, know a lot of business people in the area, but, you know, it started from ground zero. Now we have 60 churches that have partnered with us over the last 37 weeks in this campaign. We've had over 5,000 people that have participated in our prayer walks out at the abortion clinic on Saturdays, and thousands more across our city that have been praying and fasting on a weekly basis for God to do something supernatural in our city. And over the last 37 weeks, we've had over 370 families that have chosen life at the abortion clinic. They went there that day. They were scheduled for an abortion. God touched their heart, changed their minds. We have some amazing testimonies to share about all of that. But not only that, we have seen a significant drop in abortions in our city. I'm talking about a 30 to 40% drop in our city over the last 8 to 9 months. On Saturdays, this place was averaging around 50 to 60 abortions every Saturday. That number literally has been cut in half to about 25. Mm. We had about 1,000 people out there for our 1,000th pro-life prayer walk about 2 months ago. Only 9 people showed up for an abortion that day, which is the least amount anybody's seen in 10 years out there on a Saturday.
All right.
God's moving in some amazing ways.
All right, friends, notice what happened. God lays a burden on a businessman. He says there's no separation between your personal life, your ministry life, your business. It's all one and the same. It's your life. It's your calling in God. He gets a burden. He starts something, not, again, as a well-known figure with massive funding. It catches on. And I want you to repeat this. How many families have chosen life, in other words, chosen not to abort their baby this year in Charlotte?
Yeah, the exact number is 377 families that went to the abortion clinic and chose life.
Now, who knows how many others ended up making a decision before they got closer that you don't even know about? 377. Just give me, if you can think of one highlight story, one that's especially touching that comes to mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So a girl named Nicole, 18 years old, went to the abortion clinic. She was in high school. She was scared. Went to the abortion clinic, was inside of the waiting room. God touched her heart, got her up out of there, came outside to one of our outreach partners or one of our ministry partners, Cities for Life and Hope Crisis Center. She went onto the mobile unit where they offer free ultrasounds for women right outside of the abortion clinic. Went on to that mobile unit, saw her child through the free ultrasound, chose life for her baby that day, also gave her heart to Jesus right there on the sidewalk.
Come on.
And then the very next day, we had her connected with a local church. That's very much a part of our program. We've started a mentoring program where these partnering churches, they come alongside of these families, and they love on them. They care for them. They throw them a baby shower. And so we've seen Nicole just explode in her faith. She's been sharing her testimony and her story with youth groups all across our city. She's been out there leading prayer walks with us. So that's just one, but that's about a girl named Nicole. She graduated from high school with straight A's while she was pregnant. And my belief is, you know, Nicole has a sphere of influence. And when people now look at Nicole, they say, look, not only did she do it, not only did she choose life, but the local church came alongside of her, and they partnered with her. And my belief is this. Now when people see her, or after they have seen her, I believe people will stop running to the local abortion clinics for answers, and they will begin running to the local church. And that's the shift in culture that
Come
we're
on.
Hoping to see.
Justin, this is absolutely thrilling to hear. It's wonderful to hear. It's God glorifying. It is so heartening to hear, and it is so full of love and hope and life. All right, we've got 2 minutes. What's coming up next? Everyone listening to me in Greater Charlotte, you can be part of making history. What's happening?
Yeah, so week 40, our final prayer walk for this year, we're calling all 60 churches back together to rally together for this week for us to stand united. So November 30th, and this is for everybody. You don't have to be a partnering church with us, even though all the partnering churches will be there. So this is Greater Charlotte, all across North Carolina, South Carolina. We're calling you to pray and fast with us on November the 30th. We're believing to have over 10,000 people united in prayer and fasting on November the 30th. On December the 3rd, that Saturday, from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m., we will have a prayer walk taking place at Charlotte's busiest abortion clinic. We're not out there protesting or yelling or screaming at anybody. In fact, that's part of our code of conduct, that we do not engage with anybody at the clinic. We're there to pray and to believe for God to do something supernatural that day. In fact, I believe that could be the day that the owners of this abortion clinic come face-to-face with King Jesus. This could be the day that the abortionists drop to their knees and give their heart to Jesus. So we're calling everybody to be there. Sign up or registration will be taking place at 9 a.m. You can register for this event at our website, lovelifecharlotte.com. But don't miss it. December the 3rd, the prayer walk again will be from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. We're going to have some of the workers from the abortion clinic that have quit that will be there with us. We're going to have some of the families that have chosen life that will be there with us. It's going to be a powerful day. In fact, I believe it will be the greatest day for life our city has ever experienced.
All right, give us the website once more.
LoveLifeCharlotte.com.
Friends, what a time to be filled with hope and encouragement. Get involved. Be part of history. Go to LoveLifeCharlotte.com. Drive in from a few hours away. It's worth it. Take time in your morning to be there December 3rd. Let's make history together. Justin, thank you, and God bless you. What incredibly encouraging news.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
For grandchildren, what do you tell them to give them a hopeful view
of
life?
How can I give them a hopeful view? Now, how can I give them a hopeful view? I have a wife, I have a daughter, I have a daughter-in-law, and a granddaughter. What do I say to them? What do I say to them? Their women's rights are gone? You know, the environment has gone. Minimum pay has gone. What do I say to them? How do I, you know, I can only say one thing. I am a Canadian.
Ah, that was Donald Sutherland speaking sincerely on NBC's Today this past Monday. And let's grab click number 6. He also had this to say. Again, talking about how he's feeling post-elections. We just had a stirring testimony, a wonderful stirring testimony from Charlotte, North Carolina, of what can be done with a true pro-life movement. Why we call it pro-life? It is not just anti-abortion. It is pro-life in the fullest sense of the word. And many of us who voted for Donald Trump, some enthusiastically, some like me with reservation, many of us who voted for him did so over the life issue. That was at the top of our list in Supreme Court justices. And if Donald Trump backs down on those things, it will be one of the greatest betrayals in modern political history, just like his election was one of the greatest surprises in modern political history. But here's how Donald Sutherland, as a Hollywood actor and human being, is feeling.
Helen Mirren came up to me on a set. She said, "You are the most privileged person on earth." Oh. I said, "How can you say that?" And she said, "You are a white male."
Oh. And your reply to that was?
There's no reply. Mm. I was ashamed. Mm. I was stunned. And I have gotten more ashamed. Mm. It's interesting to realize that you are seen as an integral part of a group that many of whom are mendacious, misogynist, bigots, racists. And it's appalling.
Yeah. My apologies for the expression of dismay. And that was co-host Tamron Hall who weighed in there in the interview with Donald Sutherland. But my groan is over this idea that white men in particular are mendacious or bigots or racists. And obviously males would be more accused of being misogynists. But what about the white females who are mendacious and what's the opposite of misogynist? What's the word? And bigots and racists. And what of the black males or the black females or the Asian males or the Asian females or on and on? It goes. Here's the point. I'm a human being. And as a human being, I love God and I love my neighbor. Period. That's the mission. That's the calling. And when I go around the world and serve, I'm not serving as a white American male. I'm serving as a child of God. And here, who shed the most blood? who shed the most blood to free the slaves? White males. And whose blood was shed fighting to keep slavery? White males. Why? Because that was the makeup of our country and our army. I'm all for self-reflection and introspection. And if I'm not doing it enough, my wonderful God-given wife, Nancy's doing it for me. She loves me. She respects me. She honors me, but she is absolutely not impressed with me. And she'll tell me 8 times a day I did something wrong, or I missed it, or and she'll be right 8 times a day. And I'll say, thank you, honey. I don't mean in an impressive way. I mean, we'll smile and laugh about it. Okay. Come on. This is just nonsense. This is just nonsense. Here, I played the clip earlier in the broadcast about internalized misogyny, that the reason many women voted for Donald Trump or didn't vote for Hillary Clinton is that they're internally self-hating women. Come on, what kind of nonsense? No, they didn't like the candidate. They were not mobilized behind the candidate, and they didn't like the direction the country was going. clip number 8. CNN's Jake Tapper, and I believe of many journalists, that Jake Tapper has done a better job of calling people on the carpet on either side. I haven't watched enough to say that he's in a perfectly balanced, he's on CNN, but I tweeted him the other day saying, hey, you're doing a good job to stay balanced here, because he was calling out people on both sides. And I believe I don't know him well, we tweeted each other back and forth a few times, but I believe that he wants to act with integrity, that it bothers him that the large, large majority of Americans don't trust the media today. But listen to this interaction between Jake Tapper and Jack Kingston, who's an ex-GOP congressman from Georgia.
We know in Chicago, for example, that a white Trump voter was beat up by African-American men. And we also know...
Why does it matter the race of the people that beat him up?
Because that's what the topic is here. Just to quote, xenophobia, homophobia, racist, and sexist. That's what we talked about in the last
hour.
All
you had to do was say a Trump voter was beaten up. I don't know why you mentioned the race.
Because I didn't bring it up. You guys brought it up.
This incident in Chicago?
Yes.
Ah, all right. So I think this is a fair point. When a white cop shoots a black suspect, that is a big deal, is it not? And in other words, that is what is being reported. If there was a white gang that beat up a black kid, that would be reported. If there was a white Trump supporter that said something racist about a black individual, that would be reported. Well, isn't it worthy of reporting when a black gang attacks a white Trump supporter? In other words, let us address everything in a fair, even-handed way. Let us not buy into the notion that if you're in the majority, then you can never be the victim. If you're in the majority, then there can never be racist sentiments against you. Let's not give way to that, because that is not an equal way to balance. Look, God even says in the law, don't show favoritism to the poor. Isn't that extraordinary? There are so many laws that reach out to the poor and that watch out for the poor, that are on the side of the poor because they can be oppressed. But then they say, don't show favoritism. In other words, still be fair. If a poor person commits a crime, they're still guilty. But just understand that they can often be socially oppressed, and make sure that the law does not oppress them. And by the way, if you haven't heard, the police officer who was involved in the shooting death of Philando Castile in Minnesota has been charged with second-degree manslaughter. It looks like the law is taking its course. Now you say, well, what if there wasn't that cell phone video of the whole thing? Perhaps the law would not be taking its course. But at least know that the law is taking its course and charges are being brought. Now let the jury decide rightly whatever that decision is.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got some good news to share with you. We had an amazing testimony in the last half hour as we welcome all of you just tuning in now. We had an amazing testimony from local businessmen in North Carolina, in Charlotte, North Carolina, who got a burden to make a difference for life, got tremendously burdened about the issue of abortion. And so far, churches working together, networking together, praying together, reaching out together, 377 families or individuals have chosen life, have chosen to have babies, have come to faith, have had other positive outcomes, amazing stories. And the abortion rate at the largest clinic in Charlotte has dropped dramatically through churches coming together, praying and doing the right thing. And I want to encourage you, wherever you live in America, all of our great listeners just tuning in DFW area right now in greater Dallas area, all of you listening all over North Carolina, all of you listening in many other states across America, and even listening in from other countries online, I want you to be encouraged. God is working in the midst of the darkness, and there is a growing pro-life movement in the midst of the hysteria of society and the Planned Parenthood outrage. Something positive is happening. And in conjunction with this, there are some larger issues that need our attention and that need prayer. And there is a prayer meeting taking place tomorrow night. I will be on a plane, God willing, to Dallas, Texas. I will not be able to participate. But I want to get this announcement. Everybody listening in Greater Charlotte, I want to encourage you to participate. And those in other parts of the country, you can join together in prayer. I am joined by Jill Coward, State Director for Concerned Women for America. Jill, thanks for joining us on the broadcast. What's taking place tomorrow night?
Well, with the recent elections and knowing that some of the elections have not seen their conclusion, we wanted to hold a prayer rally. We're concerned about the integrity of the ongoing post-election process. So we wanted to pray about that, that truth and righteousness will prevail, and that there will be wisdom for our governor and all those people who are overseeing aid for the natural disasters, certainly in western part of the state with the wildfires, as well as in the eastern part of the state following Hurricane Matthew.
All right. And what is it to be praying for in terms of justice and righteousness with the elections right now? Why is it important for God's people to be gathering in prayer?
We know that there has been some scrutiny in some of the counties with perhaps invalid ballots and a significant amount of those. There will be the first phase for canvassing that will be coming up on Friday at November 18th throughout the counties in North Carolina. So we really do want to make sure and give prayer coverage for those people who will be overseeing that. There will also be additional recounts, perhaps. I think it could come to its total conclusion by the end of November, although we're not quite sure. So it's just to make sure that we have people in place in the different counties' boards of election who are overseeing this, that everything is done with the highest integrity.
All right, and friends, again, there are those who are suffering still, victims of natural disaster, that need prayer. This is not a partisan political prayer meeting. It is a prayer to God our Father, God our King, God our Judge. So, again, this is the time, 7 to 8:15 p.m. tomorrow night at First Baptist Church in Charlotte. If you could make it, 7 to 8:15. And if you're elsewhere in the state or in the country, just pray for justness and righteousness to be done, justice and righteousness, and for God's help for those in need. Thank you, Jill.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for being part of the Line of Fire broadcast. Let's talk for a moment. Let's talk for a moment about the protest taking place in Portland, Oregon. Over half of the protesters arrested had not voted. All right. What does that say about the hypocrisy of the protest? You don't vote, you don't do your part, and then you protest the outcome? That's not just irresponsibility, that's hypocrisy. Think of mayors like Rahm Emanuel in Chicago or police chiefs like Charlie Beck in Los Angeles saying if the president, Homeland Security, give a mandate about undocumented immigrants, about illegal aliens that are here, if they give a mandate to deport, we will not do it. Whereas the latest word from President-elect Trump is that if someone has committed a crime or is committing a crime, you're committing a crime, you're caught and you're found to be an undocumented immigrant, you'll be deported. There was so much outrage during the debate when Donald Trump said that he didn't know if he would accept the election outcome, we'd have to see, obviously meaning if there was fraud involved or thought there was fraud involved. Now here you have the election outcome, it's done, and you have people saying we're going to defy the government. There was such outrage over Donald Trump saying that he might not recognize the election outcome if he didn't think it was fair. Now you have a fair outcome, and you have people saying we don't care, we're not going to recognize it. This is some of the hypocrisy that most disturbs me and grieves me. And to tie this back into the pro-life issue here, according to Fox News, there are Craigslist ads saying stop Trump, up to $1,500 a week, hiring immediately, call today, start tomorrow, $15 to $18 hourly rate plus bonus plus overtime up to 77 hours per week. The ads were placed by a Planned Parenthood affiliate in major cities like Boston, Denver, Columbus, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh right before the election to defeat the candidacy of Donald Trump. However, most of them are still active on Craigslist, fueling questions about whether the group is now among those feeding the post-election anti-Trump protests across the country. Again, according to Fox News, many of the ads have Planned Parenthood action, a PAC emblazoned across the top, and all of them list phone numbers belonging to the Community Outreach Group, a for-profit organization formed by Planned Parenthood as a vendor of large-scale advocacy. Protesting is among the tasks listed on its website. So this kind of stuff fuels division. This kind of stuff fuels social unrest. And if, in fact, we move as a government to defund Planned Parenthood, you will see some of the most hysterical reactions imaginable. What we must do as God's people is consistently say we are pro-life, we are pro-life, we are pro-life, we are pro-life. Now, here's my question. I've been asking it for days now. The elections are done. Donald Trump is our president-elect. I was not happy with Barack Obama as our president-elect, but from that moment, he became my president, and to this day, he is my president. All right? And you may not be happy with Donald Trump as president-elect, but he is your president, or as soon as he's inaugurated, he is your president. That's just the way it works in America. So within the body, how do we work together without compromising our differences or whitewashing the real painful difficulty, how do you phrase it, the agonizing choices that people made about candidates, about voting? Without whitewashing that, just, no big deal. You know, the profound differences on all sides. Within the church, how do we do better than the world? Because right now we're tearing each other down. We're attacking each other. We're not listening to each other. How do we do better? 866-348-7884. Let's go to Tori in Catonsville, Maryland. Thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown. I wanted to get on. It's been an hour and 16 minutes that I've held for you.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you.
But I appreciate this conversation, and this is my second time calling your show, speaking quickly. The last time I called your show, probably towards the end, you took my call, and my question to you was, when are Christians going to be honest about who we are and our past and our history? And my other question to you was about why is there a black church and a white church in America? Why, you know, one of your callers out of D.C. talked about the black AME church and those sorts of things. But we need to be honest, as Christians, black people were not allowed to worship with white people. Same gospel, same God, we're not allowed to worship with white people. So while we say that we want reconciliation and we want healing, and but we say things like black people want honor and dignity and white people want the party and white people just want the bottom line, it minimizes the history of our country that black people were dehumanized. One of your guests talked about going back to the Constitution, but the Constitution for you means a very different thing than it does for me, especially me as an African-American woman. So when you talk about Christianity reconciliation, because we say things like this, we say we acknowledge it, even with your example of, well, would I have voted for Donald Trump if he were the one candidate that was for slavery? Even President Lincoln, who you know, passed emancipation, even in his writings, he said he does not want us, African-Americans, to be equals. So even though Emancipation Proclamation was proclaimed, there still was a subclass of people. And every time we were given things, separate but equal happened, then you have the backlash, and you had Jim Crow. So let's be honest, as a church, we haven't done the work. We really haven't done the work. We make these statements, but our sacrifice is very different than yours. You can go wherever you want throughout the country and not fear any type of backlash, right? Mm-hmm. But African-Americans, and I grew up, I started at 17 in corporate America, I'm in my 40s now. I always have to be careful about where I go, what time I go, how I interact, those things. So the fact of the matter is, nobody is trying to look at the path that people have walked. I'm upset. My issue, while I've never had an abortion and I'm not for abortions, but we also elevate certain sins over others. We talk about homosexuality, we talk about abortion, but we don't talk about covenant breaking, men cheating on their wives. You know, and this president cheated on each wife with the subsequent wife. We don't talk about stealing and embezzlement. We elevate certain sins over others. Again, a problem in the church, which is why people who are not Christians look at us and laugh at us. So it's not just about this election. This election just is exposing everything, right? We need to start telling the truth, and we need to confess our sins. That's scripture, right? Before we come to God and ask for him to do certain things, we must confess our sins and then repent, which means we don't do it again. So I appreciate you having this conversation.
Hey, I'm just losing you there for a second. Are you still there, Tori?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Not happy about the election results. I apologize. Not happy about the election results. For black people, African-Americans, Americans of African descent, we have always had to choose the lesser of two evils. Always. That's a historical fact.
Yeah. Let me weigh in. First, thanks for holding. And I know what you had to say is important. And thanks for getting it out clearly and without venom and rancor. Because, you know, sometimes people you're pent up with something, you want to get it out. So many times we have good points and people get to hear it because of that. So that's why I commend you for feeling so passionately, but speaking in such a gracious way. Allow me to interact for a minute and then I want to give you a chance to respond. All right. But let me just say this. No one is celebrating adultery with Donald Trump. In other words, this is a shameful part of his past. And he wants to model a committed relationship to his wife now. and people close to him say that's not the man he is anymore. But no one's celebrating that or having pro-adultery marches in the streets or restricting religious rights over that, whereas it's the reverse with homosexuality. So it's not the sin, it's the activism. And with the shedding of innocent blood, God puts that up very, very high. But many people had to wrestle, yes, with the lesser of two evils because of these very kinds of issues. The history part, though, I want to revisit that because every major Christian rally I've been in for years starts with repentance of past sins and with reconciliation, racial and towards Native Americans and things like that, these massive prayer rallies. When it comes to abortion, you have the aggressive Planned Parenthood pushing that and the nation funding it. That's massive.
Fire we want, for fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Having a great conversation with Tori in Catonsville, Maryland. So one or two more points, and I want to just let you get the last word in. And the reason that we're having these conversations is because we have to if we're going to love one another and walk together and understand each other. So just a couple other thoughts, Tori. Again, I only deal with the issue of homosexuality because of the aggressive agenda in our schools, in the government, the aggressive attack on our religious freedoms, the redefining of marriage that comes on it. That's why we vote so regretfully for a man that's been married multiple times and cheated on his wives and even boasted about it. But that's now looked at as shameful as opposed to being celebrated. Abortion, the shedding of innocent blood, very high on God's list in Scripture, but you've got the Shout Your Abortion movement and $500 million given to Planned Parenthood. Therefore, we have to stand on those issues. And, of course, there are places in America that whites wouldn't go because they wouldn't be welcome. So, you know, there is that aspect as well. But you're 100% right as far as our history, how white Americans view our history compared to black Americans, generally speaking. For good reason, there are vast differences on how things are looked at in the land of the free and the home of the brave and how black Americans hear that and say, oh really? And it's always been like that. But to me, the Constitution is the thing that gets us in the right direction. In other words, the Constitution itself does recognize, the Declaration of Independence recognizes that we're all created with God-given rights. So when we work that out, we then end up with a right view of all humanity. And that's why there was a battle from the earliest days in America about slavery, because there were many founders and Christians that were against it. But anyway, I'm not saying this to win an argument as much as to say I think there's give and take, and some people are more aware of our history than others and work actively against it. So just my thoughts on that, but I want to give you the last word.
I appreciate you sharing, and I guess for me, again, going back to what we acknowledge, and yes, abortion is, you know, horrible, innocent blood is shed, but I think if you were to, as you said, trace our money, and you look at things that we've done in other countries, even here abroad, you can track things that are wicked sins that we have financially supported. In addition to that, I fully agree with you in that the Constitution, the goal of it is to look at humanity, but when you dehumanize people, you discount people, and that's being justified. And I'm saying that not just as a sort of off the cuff, these things are happening in the 50s. My nephew is a college student, and immediately after the election, this kid who had not been in trouble ever, who has not had issues, had to almost get into a physical altercation with another person who felt empowered by the rhetoric of Donald Trump. So I'm just saying to you that those issues, while those issues are valiant and are absolutely should be championed, for me, basic survival, basic human rights, basic protection works for me.
So I've never had an abortion. I'm not, you know, that is not a choice I've ever made. I'm wholeheartedly, but I believe, again, basic stuff, stop and frisk, and, you know, we funded privatized prisons and things like that. So I think if we really pause to, again, become honest Christians and really dig into our history, as I challenged a lot of my coworkers who are now on their Facebook pages more vigilant about equality than I am, once you start digging into the real, not the Facebook stuff, not the dumb Google stuff, but the Google for Scholars and actually pulling scholarly writings and looking into our history, then we really understand who we are. And we are a nation who has committed sin and is committing sin. We have to go back to the foundation of Scripture, and it has to be, you know, an honest repentance,
yep.
not just in words, but in deed, every day. That's all I'm saying.
Got
it. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, thank you for listening, and thank you for weighing in. Much appreciated. These are the conversations we must have. And rather than reacting, or I'm going to prove this wrong, listen, think about it, listen, look at it, research, and then come to godly conclusions. Thank you. All right, Hurley in Boston, you may have set the holding record right after our last caller, but you got a couple minutes. Please weigh in.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
People voted for the president. Did God, was also God's wish? I mean, how do we know whether it's people that chose him or God?
Well, on the one hand,
it is both.
Yeah, it's both. On the one hand, we do have a system where people can vote, and we are a democratic republic. And based on that, we can vote, and God can say, all right, you get whatever you want. It's your choice. You get what you want. On the other hand, though, Hurley, in this election, there was so much for Donald Trump to overcome, 16 other Republican candidates, all of his past and present baggage, the massive media prejudice against him, being outfunded, having to overcome the Clinton political machine, and on and on. To me, you have to see the hand of God in raising him up as president, either to bless us or to curse us or a little of both. But I have to see God's hand. I wrote about it, about God's sovereign hand in this. I believe God supernaturally raised Donald Trump up to be the president of the United States, whether you think that's for good or for bad. Either way, to me, it is supernatural intervention, and we must pray and act accordingly.
Recognize it. I believe I heard him saying it was for God that he said, Trump said, when he did his speech, like right after the winning. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you are very welcome. All right, friends, we are just about out of time, but please understand this. I hate to be a broken record over this, but I'm going to say it again. Please understand that you have to have uncomfortable conversations if you're going to make progress. If you're a married couple and you're on the edge of divorce and you're sitting with a marital counselor, you're going to have uncomfortable conversations, aren't you? I mean, it's somewhat unavoidable that you're going to have these uncomfortable conversations. But you're not going to make progress unless you do. So let's have the uncomfortable conversations about the elections, but not as enemies, as friends, as brothers, and sisters. And let's listen before we respond. And let's try to digest. And then let's be committed not only to speak the truth, but to listen to the truth both ways. Fair enough? Fair enough? Hey, once a year I get a physical. And it's a joy now to get the blood work, to get the reports, and to hear how glowingly healthy I am by the grace of God due to a radical change in my lifestyle. So just looking at the report last night, going over with Nancy today, it's encouraging, but we've learned how to break the stronghold of food. Remember, you can still pre-order, get in time for Christmas, a special collector's edition of the book. Go to thelineoffire.org. This is a special pre-order. My bottom line, do you love your neighbor as yourself? Really?